This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of radio drama every Tuesday at RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week comes from the Zero Hour. We'll hear The Extortionist for May 2nd, 1974. After that, it's Suspense and The King's Birthday. That episode aired August 28th, 1943.
I'm Rod Serling. You're listening to The Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. Today, Lenhall Taylor's tale of a threatened death. The Extortionist. Starring Mel Torme. In a Mutual Broadcasting System presentation of The Zero Hour.
Brought to you by the makers of General Motors Parts, by the State Farm Insurance Company, by Dial Soap, and by the makers of Contac on Mutual Radio.
They just don't realize how little a renter's policy costs and how much it will do for them.
State Farm agent Ed Axel of Fairmont, Minnesota.
And it's hard for people to realize just how much personal property they do have. They forget about the drawers full of different things. So we tell them how they can protect the property that they already have. If they do have a fire or a theft, we will be there to take care of them so that you don't have to start over again. They're just shocked to find out that the rates are so low and the amount of coverage that we can give them for that low rate.
State Farm Fire and Casualty offers renter's insurance that can protect just about all your personal property for very little cost. A good reason to see your nearby State Farm agent now.
And like a good neighbor,
the slate-roofed mansion of the Trenton family stands lonely and cold behind a wall of rough-hewn stone. In it, bedridden and ill-tempered, Catherine Trenton, the last of her generation, lives with her servants, her secretary, her niece, and her nurse, ruling their lives in martinet fashion. Her baton of authority, the silver-headed cane with which she summons them to serve her.
Charlotte! Charlotte! That idiot nurse. Charlotte!
Good morning, Mrs. Trenton.
You know I breakfast at 9 sharp. Will you look at the time? It's 7 after. I suppose you stopped to poison the orange juice. You can't wait to get your greedy fingers on the money waiting for you in my will.
I don't expect you to will me anything, Mrs. Trenton.
And you know I'm leaving you money, all of you. Not because you deserve it, but because after I die, I don't want my private affairs dragged through the courts by a flock of vultures.
Shall I pour your tea?
Don't you always? You're a nurse. You probably know some poisons that couldn't be detected in a cup of tea.
I'm sure there are several.
Well, stop the damn rapping and come in. And you, Charlotte, stop glaring at me like that.
Good morning, Mrs. Trenton. Morning, Charlotte.
Good morning, Mr. Franklin. Will you hold the door open for me, please? I'm leaving.
There you are. The postman left these, Mrs. Trenton.
Well, never mind the mail. Jason, how long have you been my secretary?
Almost 10 years.
I'll bet you've skimmed off a goodly portion of my money during that time.
If you really believe that, why don't you go to the police? But why don't you?
Don't press me too hard, Jason. Well, you may go now. We'll discuss the mail later.
That's fine with me. However, this one letter, I haven't opened it. It's marked confidential.
But you're my confidential secretary. Open it.
Very well. It's just that I hadn't wanted to without your permission.
Well?
It's a demand for money. An extortion letter. They threaten to kill you if you don't pay them $30,000 by noon tomorrow.
Pay who $30,000? Who's going to kill me?
There's no signature. The bills are to be small denomination, unmarked, and wrapped in newspaper. Also, it says, keep the police out. This is threatening. This is serious.
Who'd want to threaten me? Here, let me see that note. Well, why $30,000? Why not $50,000 or $100,000?
It does seem a strange amount.
There may be something to this after all. Jason, get Judge Boyle on the phone. Tell him to get over here right away. Who is it?
Jason, ma'am. Judge Boyle is here.
Good. Come in.
Hello, Kate.
Who's that with you, Daniel? This is a private matter.
Extortion, Catherine, is not a private matter. It's a matter for the FBI. Now, as soon as Jason called me, I got in touch with Ben here, picked him up at the federal building. Kate, Mrs. Trenton, Inspector Brokaw.
How do you do, Mrs. Trenton?
You might be sorry you brought him, Daniel. For all I know, he might discover this is some scheme of yours.
My dear Catherine, you know I'd be lying if I said I couldn't use $30,000 to good advantage. But you also...
I know that as an executor of my estate, when I die, you'll milk it for every cent you can get.
Mrs. Trent, if I may say so, the judge...
You cannot say so. This is no time for one of your rattle-brained opinions. Go back to your letter writing.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, Kate, you've never given anyone credit for having an honest thought. You know, you're so damn suspicious of everyone you've named your will that you failed to take this threat seriously.
Mrs. Trenton, if this is a genuine extortion threat, you have until tomorrow to save your neck. Now, Dan brought me here hoping that I could help you save it. May I see the letter and the envelope it came in?
Certainly, here.
Thank you.
Can you make out that postmark?
It's very faint. However, the zip code is legible. It was mailed locally. Well, the extortionist was smart enough to use a typewriter, but that doesn't exactly make him a genius. Every typewriter leaves evidence as clearly as handwriting or fingerprints. Tell me, Mrs. Trenton, who occupies this house besides yourself?
There are the servants, my nurse, Charlotte Kaiser, my secretary, Jason Franklin, and Meredith.
Meredith?
Meredith Trenton, a niece.
How old is she?
27.
Do you support her?
She eats and sleeps here. I give her an allowance for her other expenses.
A generous one?
Not generous enough, I'm afraid. I've had to pay off her gambling debts from time to time.
Big ones? Mrs. Trenton?
I'll answer that. Some have been big, some small. The last one was a... Big...
Daniel, I...
After the big one, Kate swore she'd never bail her out again.
Interesting. Is she in town? I mean, is she available for questioning?
She can usually be reached somewhere.
What about boyfriends?
I gave up trying to keep track of them years ago.
She's a bit of a swinger, Ben.
Oh? And your nurse, how long has she been with you?
About 3 years.
Mm-hmm. How about the servants?
Well, there's two. There's a houseboy and a maid. They've been with me since my late husband hired them some 30 years ago.
How about Joseph? He might warrant some checking into.
Joseph?
Joseph Paxton, Mrs. Trenton's chauffeur.
Well, why do you suspect him?
Oh, I didn't say I suspected him. It's just that I know he hits the bottle a little too often, disappears occasionally for 2 or 3 days.
He'll be gone longer than 2 or 3 days this time. I fired him yesterday.
Drinking?
The worst ever. Most obnoxious. Threatened all kinds of trouble, even though I gave him a full month's severance pay.
Do you know where he lives?
I'm afraid not. He lived here until yesterday.
I'll tell you where you might get a lead, Ben. He has a cousin who owns a garage at the other end of town.
At least it's a start. Well, I guess that's it for now, Mrs. Trenton. I'll have our laboratory man go over the envelope and the note.
Thank you for coming, Inspector.
You're welcome. Coming, Dan?
Oh, I'll be right with you. You're in good hands, Catherine. Ben Brokaw knows what he's doing every minute. Take care now.
Charlotte!
Oh, listen to her fizz. You know, she's been like that as long as I can remember.
Yeah, she must have built up a big backlog of resentment. Practically anyone we've discussed might have been goaded into extortion or anything else for revenge.
What's your next move, Ben?
Well, as soon as I get back to the office, I'll see if we can round up that chauffeur.
Aren't you glad?
Glad is what happens when you use Dial soap.
Aren't you glad?
It starts right out with a clean, fresh scent that's like nothing else.
Aren't you glad?
To get you going, clean and fresh.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad?
Dial washes away the cause of odor on your skin. You just can't buy a better deodorant soap than Dial. And that's saying something.
What a night.
Good evening, Miss Meredith.
What's good about it?
Here, let me take your coat and scarf. You're soaking wet.
Well, I'm glad you noticed.
I know you're upset, Miss Meredith. I'm sorry I had to call you and interrupt your plan.
I hope you didn't tell anyone where you located me.
Of course not.
Why the devil should I have to come all the way back here just because my bitch of an aunt got a crazy letter from somebody as spaced out as she is?
The FBI man wanted everybody here. He's been all over this house for the last hour or so. All of us except you have been fingerprinted. He asked that I send you into the library as soon as you arrive. His name is Inspector Brokaw. I'll take your things to the kitchen to dry. See you later.
Okay.
Come in.
Hello, Judge. Jason says they want my fingerprints.
It'll only take a moment. Now, just press your finger on this ink pad, please.
Now, why don't you ask me if I've robbed any safes lately?
I don't have to. If you had, you'd have paid off Nick.
What do you know about Nick?
I will just press your fingers on this card. Nick is a crooked gambler and a dangerous man, especially if someone owes him $30,000. Now, the left fingers, please.
Okay. So you know about Nick. But I didn't write that letter.
But you, along with a lot of other people, would benefit by your aunt's death. Wipe your fingers on this tissue.
Are you through with me?
For now.
Send Charlotte in, will you please?
Please, don't leave the house.
In this storm? You've got to be kidding.
Inspector Brokaw speaking.
Inspector, this is McDougal.
Oh, hi, Mac. What's with the chauffeur?
Nothing yet. I put on a three-state alarm and an APB on him in case he's decided to split.
Okay, stay in touch. I'll be here for a while.
You wanted to see me?
Yes. This is a sheet of your stationery, isn't it, Miss Kaiser?
It's probably mine. Why?
The extortion letter was written on a sheet exactly like this.
And that makes me guilty?
No, I didn't say so.
If anybody around here wanted to get $30,000 for Mrs. Trenton, it probably would have been...
Oh, then you know about Meredith Trenton's gambling debt.
Jason told me.
Okay, that'll be all for now. Thank you.
I'll be in my room if you want me.
Oh! I'm sorry.
Well, as long as you're interested enough to eavesdrop, Mr. Franklin, you might as well come in.
Well, if I can be of help.
It's just possible. Do you recognize the typing on this sheet of paper?
I'm not sure. It seems to be the same style of type as that of the machine I use.
Well, it should be. I typed this on your machine. I have a hunch the microscope will show that the typing on the extortion note will match this perfectly.
Look, Inspector. I have no reason to extort money from Mrs. Trenton. I'm well paid. And she's told me she's been very generous to me in her will.
You know something, Dan?
What?
I'm beginning to think that whoever wrote this...
Ah! Oh, my goodness. No! Oh, Mrs. Trenton, what's going on?
Oh, come on!
You're probably well aware of the advantages of a well-tuned car in helping you obtain better gas mileage. A well-tuned car can run more efficiently, more economically. If all cars were properly tuned and operating efficiently, we could save millions of gallons of gas. To help you evaluate your car's efficiency, your participating GM dealer has two new energy checks available. One is an economy checkup that includes an engine diagnosis along with several other inspections to see if your car is up to specs. The other is an economy tune-up to help give you a smooth-running engine that performs efficiently. Making the most out of the gasoline around is one of our country's basic challenges. It's important to you and to us at General Motors. That's why we're inviting everyone to come in now for a GM energy check at a Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, or Cadillac dealer. Get together with him and get more of a run for your money.
Hello? Oh, Monica.
So soon? You're having a party again?
Dinner. Friday?
Oh, no, no, no.
Well, it certainly sounds like fun.
Fun? He gets everybody drunk on martinis. They forget to serve dinner, and everybody gets a hangover. Well, great.
We just should come early for a couple of extra silver bullets. Oh, yes. I suppose that was funny the last time. I mean, the way the Claypools conked out.
Silver bullets? Who needs it?
Well, look, I better check with Roger. Roger, what should I tell him?
Look, honey, we don't want to go there. Tell her we're busy. Tell her we're on the wagon.
Just tell her no.
Let's face it. People who need to drink that much to be social are not really social drinkers. For a free booklet about drinking, write Alcohol, Box 2345, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
A public service message from this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
Yeah, it's been a long couple of hours. How is she, Ben?
Now, the doctor just left. He told me she's suffering more from shock than anything. Although there's some serious bleeding and severe powder burns. The pistol was obviously fired at such an angle that it caused only a scalp wound. It's touch and go, but apparently she'll live. You know, as your friend, Dan, I hate to say it, but this does delay certain benefits which you and the
other... Lord, Dan, I didn't mean it that way.
Judge Boyle means that Mrs. Trenton, though spared now, we'll have to face an excruciatingly painful death later on.
Yeah, well, she told me she has bone cancer. Tell me, Dan, have you ever seen this gun before?
My God. Was that the pistol she... Her own gun?
Yeah, it was found on the floor behind her bed.
I didn't know she had a gun.
Yeah, well, nurse didn't know it either. As it turns out, Dan, this is your gun.
Well, you don't think I... Well, she wanted a gun for protection, so I bought that for her 3 weeks ago. I never dreamed she'd use it.
Well, I'm afraid she not only used the gun, I suspect she used you.
Meaning?
Damned if I know, Dan. Right now, my gut's trying to tell me something, but my brain doesn't dig it. Well, I know it's terribly late at night for this, but the reason I've called you all together again is that I think we're just about ready to wind up this case. Our lab has gone over what evidence I've uncovered very thoroughly. For example, Jason, the extortion note was typed on your machine.
Oh?
And your fingerprints are on the letter.
Naturally. I handled it to open it and to read it to Mrs. Trenton.
And Nurse Kaiser, your prints were not found on the note, but there were traces of fuzz from lavender suede gloves.
I don't even own a pair of gloves, any color.
And Mrs. Trenton was shot with a gun registered to Judge Boyle, but his fingerprints weren't on it. And in running a check on Miss Meredith's gambling friend, Nick, we learned that she's in hock to him for exactly $30,000.
Excuse me, Inspector, but the APB got your man, Joseph Paxton.
Oh, thank you, Officer. Ladies and gentlemen, I must speak with him privately. Kindly wait in this room till I return. Well, I think we have this just about cleared up.
Did Joseph have anything to do with it?
No, but he was quite helpful. You see, Mrs. Trenton failed to tell me something. Now, when she gave Joseph his month's severance pay, she also gave him a sizable sum as a fee for mailing a letter for her. A letter addressed to herself.
I don't understand.
That's right. She wore lavender suede gloves, which incidentally I just located in her room. The letter was posted downtown. She wanted the $30,000 for your gambling debt, Miss Meredith.
Oh, no.
Without having the executors of her will know about it. She thought that by committing suicide using the gun that was registered to Judge Boyle, she'd escape her ultimate painful death and place the suspicion of murder on all the beneficiaries of the will. She hated all of you, you know.
Maltreus! Carry on! Yes, I did it! And the only regret I have is it didn't work. And when I do die, I hope my money takes you all to hell.
Oh, Mrs. Trenton. Mrs. Trenton.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
To your love.
But give your allergy to contact.
Allergy is our business, too. We know pollen. And we know that any of the 12,000 quarts of air you breathe each day may contain enough pollen to make your eyes itch, make you sneeze, and drip. We also know an ingredient that helps block pollen's bad effects. It's the antihistamine most prescribed by allergy specialists. It's an ingredient in contact.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
To your love.
Tiny time pills in one contact keep this antihistamine working up to 12 full hours, all day, all night.
Give your allergy to contact.
Take contact only when needed, only as directed.
I'm Rod Serling. Close your eyes, exercise your imagination, and join us again on our next presentation of The Zero Hour.
Featured in the cast were Peggy Weber, Lou Krugman, Julie Bennett, and Barbara Gatlin. Zero Hour, created by J.M. Fox, directed by Don Hill, and produced in Hollywood. Mutual broadcasting system by Radio Productions Incorporated. Music composed and conducted by Stanley D. Hoffman. Rochelle Sherman, associate producer. This has been a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Suspense. This is the Man in Black, here again to introduce Columbia's program, Suspense. Tonight, in one of her rare radio appearances, we bring you one of Hollywood's most idolized personalities, Miss Dolores Costello. With such noteworthy and distinguished players as Mr. Martin Kosler, Mr. George Zucco, and Mr. Eon Wolfe, Miss Costello appears in A Story of Today, played against the background of the New Order in Europe. The story of an oppressed people who use strange and effective methods in dealing with their oppressors and with traitors. The story tonight is called The King's Birthday and was written by Corporal Louis Pelletier, AUS. And with the performances of Dolores Costello as the Danish Countess Elsa, of Martin Kosler as the Nazi Gauleiter, Reitman, of George Zucco as Dr. Erickson, and of Ian Wolfe as old Peter of Cronwald Castle, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
They come to the castle almost every day now, the Gestapo, trying to question me. But it seems I'm very stupid. Somehow, I don't give the right answer. Perhaps it's my advanced age. When they question me about the night of the king's birthday, I get confused. I ramble on in the fashion of old people. Gentlemen, Cronwall Castle is 300 years old. For all those years, Cronwall has been a symbol of Danish liberty. Gentlemen, the sea waves beat against the rocks of Cronwall. The sea is deep. Ah, the sea knows everything. Ask her.
Stop babbling nonsense, you old fool. Ask him my question. Did you know about those notes?
But of course, Herr Lieutenant. Everybody in the district knows about them. The notes said Count Victor would kill himself on the night of the king's birthday.
Did you see the notes?
Oh, no, Herr Lieutenant. But the notes said that Count Victor would kill himself because of his great shame. That I do know. And the notes said the exact time, 12 midnight.
So you know the exact time?
Yes, I'm fond of clocks, you see. My father had a clock that told the time with a bird jumping out. The bird whistled, like this. Oh.
Stop that insane chirping.
Yes, Herr Lieutenant.
I'll take care of you later. Perhaps I'll have something that will improve your memory. Stay there till I call you.
Yes, Herr Lieutenant. There's nothing the matter with my memory. I could tell them a thing or two if I wanted. I could tell them how it all happened. It began 2 days before the king's birthday. That was the day the new Nazi Gauleiter, Herr Reichmann, came to the castle to see the Countess Elsa. I was told to show him to the library. It was cold and gray, and the sea was pounding on the rocks, very angry, like it always is in November. The new Gauleiter sat by the fireplace and warmed his hands and called for a glass of brandy.
And bring some soda, too, please.
Yes, Herr Reichmann.
How soon did your mistress say she would see me?
In a few minutes, Herr Reichmann.
You told her it was most urgent.
Yes, I told her. She'll be with you soon.
I doubt it. Most women's idea of soon is the best part of an hour. In my country, we train our women to...
The brandy, Herr Reichmann.
Oh, thank you. Yes, in Germany we... Courvoisier. Ready to get brandy like this.
Count Victor can get many things that are forbidden to his countrymen, Herr Reichmann. Count Victor's cellar is well stocked.
Is it really?
Yes, we have meat at the castle. Nobody in Denmark has meat, only Cronwall Castle.
You're lucky.
So they say. Shall I leave the brandy, sir?
Yes, but you stay here a minute. Tell me, what's your name?
Peter, sir.
Ah, yes, Peter. You have been at Cronwall since you were a child. 63 years. Am I correct?
Why, yes. How did you
know? It's my business to know a lot of things, Peter. You don't approve of Count Victor, do you?
It's not my place, sir, to...
3 days ago in the marketplace, you were heard to make an indiscreet remark concerning Count Victor's collaboration with Berlin. I think a word very close to traitor was used.
Was it, sir?
What do you think?
I think, Herr Reichmann, the fire is in need of some more wood. If you'll excuse me, I'll get some.
Do, by all means. And Peter?
Yes, sir?
Tell your mistress that I do not intend to spend all afternoon here. My business is urgent, and
You may tell the Countess yourself, sir.
Herr Reichmann.
Countess Elsa, excuse me, I was just saying...
That's quite all right, Herr Reichmann. Sit down, please.
Thank you.
Peter told me your business was urgent. I hope I haven't kept you.
No, not at all. My business is urgent. But as a new Gauleiter of this district, I might combine social pleasure with business, and...
Oh, that's very kind of you.
I had hoped that my wife, Frau Reichmann...
Oh, of course. You must ask her to call sometime.
Yes, I will. Although I've never had the pleasure of meeting Count Victor, it would be a great honor if we may call as soon as he returns from Berlin.
You certainly, Herr Reichmann.
Thank you.
And this urgent business?
Yes, we come to that. Do you mind if I smoke?
Not at all.
A good cigar always makes unpleasant things easier to tell.
It sounds almost as if you had rehearsed that line on the way to the castle, Herr Reichmann.
I did. And since it was ineffective, I'll be blunt, Countess.
I prefer it.
3 days ago, Countess, to be exact, on the day I arrived at Cronwall to begin my duties as Gauleiter of this district, I found this note on my desk. Read it, please.
Count Victor of Gronwald will kill himself on the night of the king's birthday.
That note was on my desk in the morning. At noon, I found this one. Read it, please.
Count Victor of Gronwald will repudiate his Nazi collaborators. He will choose the night of the king's birthday for his death.
I thought at first it was some crank, but the notes kept coming. Then I heard that everybody in the district believed what the note said. In every house and shop and farm, they are saying that Count Victor is going to kill himself. You see why I said my business was urgent.
Yes, I see.
It's not that I have the slightest fear for the Count's safety, but the writer of these notes must be found and treated with severest penalties.
You have no fear for my husband's safety?
Of course not. Certainly no anonymous letter writer could force the Count to take his own life.
I wonder.
What do you mean?
You wish me to be frank with you?
Naturally.
You know that my husband is hated by the whole countryside.
What of it? People here are too stupid to know what's good for them.
Perhaps. But the writer of these notes seems to be a little less than stupid.
You think so?
If you knew Danish history, Herr Reichmann, you might agree. For hundreds of years, the night of the king's birthday has been a special occasion at Grunwald. On that night, the castle renews its pledge of loyalty to the king and to Denmark's freedom.
A very theatrical gesture.
Quite. But if anyone wished to remind Count Victor...
If someone wished to remind the Count that he had chosen our glorious Führer for his leader...
Yes. The night of the king's birthday would be, shall we say, the psychologically correct time to do it.
You reason well, Countess.
I know my countrymen.
Evidently.
I can see how these notes would inflame their imagination. If Count Victor were to take his own life as a public repudiation of his present political bonds, the whole country would be stirred to its depths.
I see. You seem to view the possibility of your husband's death rather calmly, Countess.
Like you, Herr Reichmann, I have no fear for his safety. I am only presenting the political possibilities.
Quite so. And since you grasp the full significance of the notes, you understand that I must take certain liberties in order to track down the writer.
Liberties?
Yes. I shall ask your permission to talk with Dr. Erickson.
Oh, Dr. Erickson?
Well, I'm told he lives here at the castle.
Yes, but...
I should like to talk with Dr. Erickson.
As you wish. Peter will show you to the doctor's study. However, I assure you...
My time is short, Countess. I understand that Dr. Erickson is one of your country's able psychiatrists. I understand that Dr. Erickson is an authority on mass suggestion. His help should be invaluable.
Dr. Erickson.
Yes, Peter. Show the gentleman in. Now sit down, Herr Reichmann. Don't be alarmed about these mice. I'll remove them just as soon as Herman here gets through the maze. Watch him. He's really quite clever. I've been trying him on liver extract and... Ah, he made it. Good night, Herman. Now, off to bed. I've been expecting you, Herr Reichmann. Please sit down.
Thank you.
You've come to see me about the notes, am I right?
Yes, you're right, Doctor.
When I first heard about them, I said to myself, the new Gauleiter will want my theory concerning the type of mind which would be prompted to write such notes. I'll tell you my theory, Herr Reichmann.
I don't want your theory, Doctor. I want you to answer some questions.
Oh, so it's like that. And perhaps you want a sample of my handwriting, too.
I'm not a fool, Doctor.
That's very possible.
How long have you been treating Count Victor for a certain nervous disorder?
5 years.
What would you say is his condition now?
You've never met Count Victor, have you, Herr Reichmann?
No.
When you talk with him, you'll see no outward sign of his malady. It manifests itself only during periods of despondency. In the last few years, I am happy to say that these periods have been infrequent.
Count Victor depends a good deal on you, doesn't he, Doctor?
Perhaps I've almost cured him. In return, he's given me this laboratory and money for my experiments.
But you do have a great deal of influence on his mental processes.
Yes, Herr Reichmann. I do. In fact, if I decided to, shall we say, liquidate Count Victor, I would have written the notes exactly as the people say they are written. Like all nervous people, the Count would be highly susceptible to such mental attack. That's what you wanted me to say, isn't it?
Yes.
We know then where we stand.
Almost. One thing more I'll ask you, Doctor. Count Victor had a brother who left Kronberg when Denmark was occupied by our troops. That brother, Christian, is now known to be working with the Danish underground. Formerly, he was one of your students at the university. Is that right?
Christian was one of my most brilliant students.
Do you know where he is now?
No, I don't. And neither does your Gestapo. That's the only thing we share in common.
You're a very outspoken man, Doctor.
I find it the best form of deception.
Do you think it wise to try to deceive the lawful government of your country?
Lawful government? You have a quaint sense of humor, Herr Reichman.
You may not find it so quaint if Count Victor ever removes his protection from you.
He won't. When you've informed him of his impending suicide, as I presume you will, you'll see he'll need me more than ever. You do intend to show the notes to the Count, don't you?
Yes. I will present myself to His Excellency tonight on his return from Berlin.
His reactions to the notes will be most interesting. Would it inconvenience you if I would be present on the occasion?
Oh, not at all, Doctor. I'd be delighted. Your own reactions should be most interesting, too.
Dad? That's what the people think, eh? They think they can kill me with words. They can't do that to me, can they, Doctor?
Easy, Count
Victor,
easy.
Victor, this childish note. Count Victor will kill himself on the night of the king's birthday. Because of his great shame here, I'll great shame them, all right. They'll see that... Doctor, a little of the brandy, please.
Yes, of course, Count Victor. Now, you mustn't upset yourself.
Who's upset? The whole thing is completely nonsensical, completely.
Of course it is. Ask Herr Reichman. His police have practically caught the writer of the notes, haven't they, Herr Reichman?
Practically, Doctor. You have nothing to worry about, Count Victor.
You see?
Doctor, tonight, if I need a sedative...
Certainly, Count Victor.
I'll show them. I'll give them a dinner here on the night of the king's birthday. Everyone will hear about it. They'll see who's afraid. I'll give a dinner. Herr Reichman, will you be my guest at dinner?
With pleasure, Count Victor.
I'll light up this whole castle like a Christmas tree. And Elsa, you'll wear that gown you wore at the palace and your jewels. You understand? You'll wear all your jewels.
Yes, Victor.
Kill me with words, eh? If it's words they're after, I'll give them words. Herr Reichman, I'll make a statement to your newspapers the night of the king's birthday. I'll stuff words down the people's throat. Yes. And there's someone in particular who'll read what I have to say. My brother, Christian. I want him especially to read it. Herr Reichman. Have you ever seen my brother?
No, Count Victor.
His picture was in that empty frame up there next to mine. I destroyed his picture.
Victor, you're getting excited. Dr. Erickson.
Yes, you're right, Elsa. Sometimes the strain of my work is too much. Dr. Erickson, you'll talk to me for a while before I go to bed, won't you?
Of course. Talk to you, Count Victor?
Yes, the doctor has a way of calming my nerves. It's slightly hypnotic, isn't that it, Doctor?
You might call it that, Count Victor.
Count Victor, I'd strongly advise...
No, it's the only thing that helps me. I just go quietly to sleep while the doctor talks.
But, Count Victor...
Good night, Herr Reichman. I'll expect you here for dinner on the night of the king's birthday.
Of course, Count Victor.
Elsa?
Yes, Victor?
They can't hurt me with words, can they?
No, Victor.
They can't hurt me if I don't listen, can they? If I shut my ears, I'll be all right. That's it. Shut my ears. I won't listen. I won't listen. I won't listen. I won't listen. I won't listen.
Herr Gauleiter.
Yes, Lieutenant?
While you were out to lunch...
You needn't tell me. It's another note.
Yes, Herr Gauleiter.
Where did you find it this time?
I hesitate to... Speak up! Speak up! I found it, Herr Gauleiter, in the pocket of my own tunic when I was about to go on duty.
Never mind the details. I found one of them under my pillow this morning. Count Victor called me and said there was one delivered with his morning paper. The farmer came in here at 8 o'clock. He found one nailed to his door. Lieutenant, it has got to stop.
Yes, Herr Gauleiter.
Just as our Führer says, if you tell a lie often enough, everybody believes it.
That's true, Herr Gauleiter.
Is it?
Well, as the Gauleiter says...
Do you believe Count Victor will kill himself?
Oh, no, Herr Gauleiter.
Neither do I. But the Countess was right about one thing. If he did kill himself after all these notes, the effect on the people would be electrifying.
But you just said that...
I'm talking about effects, Lieutenant. From what I have seen of the Count, he is too much of a coward to take his own life. But if someone else killed him and made it look like suicide...
Yes, yes, it could be done, but... How?
How? I don't know. There will be four of us at dinner. I have ordered 50 guards to patrol the grounds. Four guards will be stationed in the dining room while we eat. No one can get near the Count. It's impossible to kill him. But in this strange country, you can't even trust the impossible.
They say the castle is guarded tonight. 50 soldiers.
They say the Count locked himself in his room all day writing a message to the people, they say.
They say the Gauleiter has 5 Gestapo men at the castle besides the soldiers. 1 Gestapo man is watching the food for poison.
Wait a minute, you. Taste that wine before you bring it into the dining room.
What did you say, sir?
I said taste that wine.
Oh, taste it. Why, of course. Ah, it's very good, sir. Did you doubt its quality?
Don't be insolent. All right. Let me take it in.
Thank you, sir.
And if there's any left after they're through...
Oh, I'll take care of you, sir.
Ah, more wine. Good boy, Peter. Set it right here. We'll drink another toast to the king.
Victor, I think we've drunk enough
to... Oh, nonsense. This is the king's birthday dinner. We've got to drink to the king.
Oh, Peter.
Yes, sir?
Did they make you taste that wine before you brought it in?
Yes, doctor, they did.
What's this? What's this about tasting wine?
A simple precaution of mankind, Victor. I hope you don't mind.
Mind? No, I don't mind, but you don't think that...
Now, Victor, don't get upset.
Oh, Elsa, for the love of heaven, stop repeating that inane phrase. I'm saying that all through dinner. I'm not upset, not upset. I just want to know what's going on. What have I got to be upset about? You're more nervous than I am.
I can understand the Countess's feeling. This is the first dinner I've ever had with 4 soldiers observing my digestive processes. Don't you think, Herr Reichmann?
I must insist, Doctor, that the soldiers remain.
Well, at least ask them to sit down.
Gauleiter.
Yes, Herr Gauleiter.
Your men may be seated.
Thank you, Herr Gauleiter. You couldn't have hit that.
Yes, and Peter, go get some wine for the soldiers.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Everyone will have more wine, Peter. We're going to toast the king. What time is it, Doctor?
11:55, Count Victor.
And I'm still alive. Peter, it's 11:55, and I'm still alive. Go get the wine, Peter.
Yes, sir.
You know... Peter tells me everything they say down at the village. The people say I have 5 minutes to live.
So, Peter tells you the village gossip?
Oh, yes. He knows everything. It was Peter who discovered most of the notes and brought them to me.
He brought you the note?
Oh, yes, and the last one said the... Now, what did it say?
Victor, can't we talk about something else?
Why? Ask the doctor. He and I discuss it for hours. Well, the doctor told me about some sect over in the West Indies that disposes of an enemy by simply writing the victim's name on a piece of paper and sending it to him. Same sort of nonsense being tried on me. Isn't that your theory, Doctor?
Well, I...
Dr. Erickson, in view of the Count's nervous condition, don't you
Herr
think...
Herr Gauleiter, my private life is my own affair.
Then you work for the Reich, Count Victor. You have no private life. I repeat, Dr. Erickson, in view of the Count's nervous disorder...
As the Count's personal physician, I prescribe my own remedies. To know the truth about occult practices is the best way to guard against them.
Surely you don't think that...
In Haiti, Herr Reichmann, I saw a man die after receiving a note with his name on it. I don't explain it, I tell you a fact.
You see? It's possible. It's a fact. I could be murdered with pen and ink. It could be done in exactly 3 minutes if my watch is right. Yes. 3 minutes to live. Where's Peter with that wine?
Victor, if you will excuse me, I have a headache.
You stay here, Elsa. No one leaves this room till midnight.
Gauleiter.
Yes, Herr Gauleiter.
Lock the door. Bolt all the windows.
Yes, Herr Gauleiter.
Kill Satan. Yes,
that's right. Bolt everything. They won't come in here after me. They won't touch me.
Victor, you're being absurd. I ask
you. Countess, I think it best to comply with Count Victor's wishes.
Humor me, my dear. Humor me. Now, you'd never forgive yourself if you treated me unkindly during the last 2 minutes of my life. Especially since you wished me dead so many times.
Victor.
It's the truth, isn't it?
Come, Victor.
2 minutes to live, Doctor. This is a good time to hear Elsa's confession.
If I may say a word.
You may not. Elsa, it's the truth, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yes, Victor. It's the truth. I wish you were dead. I hate every minute I live under your roof. I hate the thing you've become. A Nazi puppet. I hate your sniveling, goose-stepping mind, just as I loathe this fat specimen of the super race you've invited to dinner.
Father, all right. No, let her finish her goal. Go on, Elsa.
I despise you as a man. Your countrymen despise you. Even before the Nazis came, you were planning to sell us out. all that Kronwald has fought for down through the years. The Danes should be a proud and free people. You sold all that for a cast iron Nazi cross. I wish you were dead, Victor. I wish your soul were rotting in the grave that's waiting for all these mad men of Europe.
Doctor, listen. 5 o'clock.
May God grant wisdom to our king and freedom to our people.
May Kronwald always keep the faith.
Who turned out the light? Who turned out the light? Gefreiter, I hear a door opening.
No, Herr Gauleiter, my hand is on the door. It is not moving.
Victor.
Yes? Gefreiter.
Come, Victor of Kronwald.
I hear you. Who is speaking?
Victor, this is your time. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Now you die like a soldier, Victor. But your name will live on.
Victor! Don't do it, Victor!
Goodbye, Elsa!
Victor!
Have they found the body? They say the body was washed out to sea. But yesterday on the rocks they found the Count's wristwatch and a handkerchief with the initial V on it.
They'll never find the body.
Say what you will. Count Victor was a brave man to take his own life.
Yes, he showed those Nazis a Dane could die for honor.
You know what the Nazis say? They say someone forced the Count to kill himself.
Well, how could you force
that's
a man?
That's what the Nazis say.
And listen, they've arrested old Peter. They're trying to make old Peter talk.
Peter won't talk, but if he did, I bet he could tell them a thing or two.
Yes, I could tell them a thing or two. I could tell them why they'll never find Count Victor's body. You know why? Because Count Victor didn't jump out of the window. How could he? Count Victor was dead 6 days before the king's birthday. No, I didn't kill him. He was shot through the head by his own brother Christian the night he came home unexpectedly from Berlin, 6 days before the king's birthday. Yes, I worked with the underground, and so did the Countess and Dr. Erickson. That's why Christian came here to see us. When the Count returned unexpectedly, Christian decided to try to reason with him. They quarreled and, well, Christian eliminated the slimiest traitor Denmark has ever known. It was then that Dr. Erickson got the idea for the note.
Christian, we've got to try it. This new Gauleiter has never seen Count Victor. You'll pose as the Count and we'll stage your suicide. The moral effect on the people will be tremendous.
Christian agreed, and we started sending the notes. The rest was easy. We all played our parts, and Dr. Erickson coached us on the exact thing to do at 12 midnight.
At the last stroke of 12, Peter will turn out the lights from downstairs. You've got that, Peter?
Yes, Doctor.
Then what do you do?
I go through the passageway that leads to the hidden door in the dining room fireplace. I open the door and call out, Count Victor, this is your time. Are you ready?
And you, Christian?
I say, I am ready.
I call out, don't do it, Victor, don't do it.
Then I break one of the windows. And you, Christian?
I go through the fireplace door and disappear.
Yes. And Count Victor of Kronwald has died for his country.
Well, that's how it was done. We planned it well, even to putting Count Victor's wristwatch and handkerchief on the rock where the Nazis would find them. Presently, the Gauleiter will question me some more. But soon, soon there will be a note on his desk, and I can hear him saying,
Lieutenant. Lieutenant, how did this note get on my desk?
A note? I don't know, Herr Gauleiter. What does it say? It
says, remember the night of the king's birthday. Your turn is next, Herr Gauleiter. Your turn is next.
Mm-hmm. so closes The King's Birthday, starring Dolores Costello with Martin Kozlek, George Zucco, and Ian Wolfe. Tonight's tale of suspense. The producer of these broadcasts is William Speer, who, with Ted Bliss, director, Lud Gluskin and Lucian Marowick, conductor and composer, and Corporal Louis Pelletier, radio author, collaborated on tonight's suspense. This is your narrator, the man in black, who conveys to you Columbia's invitation to spend this half hour in suspense with us again next week. Suspense will be heard at a new time, Thursdays at 10:30 Eastern Wartime and 7:30 Pacific Wartime. Perhaps you will want to note this down. The new time for Suspense will be Thursdays, beginning next Thursday at 10:30 Eastern Wartime and 7:30 Pacific Wartime. Our play next Thursday will be The Singing Walls, based on a story by Cornell Woolrich.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. There's more from the Zero Hour Suspense, past episodes of this podcast, all of the other podcasts, and our Shoutcast stream, all at relicradio.com. You can donate through the website if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows. Visit donate.relicradio.com or click on one of the links on the website. We've got some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts. Any amount is always appreciated and helpful. Thanks again to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me this week. Be back tomorrow with Case Closed, and next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.